This is Tech on the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Ben Johnson. We are celebrating Star Trek for its 50th birthday. Brandon Braga worked as a writer, producer, and showrunner for several Star Trek series, including The Next Generation, which came after the original series, and later series such as Voyager. He worked on many iconic episodes like the acclaimed Next Generation finale, All Good Things. Also, Star Trek movies such as First Contact and Generations. Brandon, thanks for talking to me.
Oh, my pleasure.
So what is it like in the writer's room of Star Trek?
The challenging thing about Star Trek, at least when I was doing it, was that we did 26 episodes a year. A lot of shows now are doing 10 episodes. I don't even know how we were able to come up with 26 decent storylines. In fact, they weren't all decent, I guess. But it was great fun.
Is it tricky when you work on a science fiction show in that the sky's the limit?
Well, there's a paradox, and you're right, that anything you can imagine you can do on Star Trek, if you can imagine something at all, which is to say, on some days, you got nothing. The universe is empty. But
it's a vacuum.
It's a vacuum. But I personally kind of viewed Star Trek as something of an anthology show.
How do you mean?
We could do a horror type episode. We could do a romantic episode. We could do a Western. We could do time travel. We could, any genre that you can think of, we could do in some form as a Star Trek episode. So it was a really great format to explore not just characters, but ideas. You know, I miss it. There's no show like it.
Tell me how you as a writer viewed the use of technology on the show. Were you really imagining what the future would hold tech-wise, or was tech more of a kind of device to move the plot along when you needed it, or was it both?
You know, I didn't spend a lot of time thinking about what the future would be like, because the futurism of Star Trek and its general conceptualization had already occurred in Gene Roddenberry's mind.
Uh-huh.
Any new technology that was introduced generally was introduced because of a plot reason. If anything, I as a writer relied a little too heavily on technological fixes for certain plot lines.
Can you give me an example? Was there an episode where you were like, oh, I got this big problem, and you were able to solve it with some invented piece of tech?
In the finale of Next Generation, All Good Things, Picard is adrift in three different time periods, and to consolidate the time periods, they have to all three enterprises have to shoot a beam into an anomaly, and it was just a bunch of techno babble, as we called it, and we were a little too reliant on it.
But that finale has been reviewed really well, so it obviously
worked well for you.
It
worked. You know, I didn't mind the techno babble. It had certain a poetry and rhythm to it that I kind of liked.
What do you mean it had a poetry and rhythm to it?
I just like lines of dialogue like the inertial dampers are offline, core breach imminent. You know, it's just cool stuff.
The Enterprise is drawing their fire.
Damage report.
The warp core has been badly damaged. There's a breach in progress.
We have to stop it.
Do you have a favorite episode that you worked on? I'm sure you're asked this all the time, but
I think the finale of Next Generation was one of those challenges where you were taking a show off the air at the height of its popularity, and how do you do a great send-off that's emotionally satisfying and conceptually kind of mind-blowing? And somehow Ron Moore and I were able to pull it together. And probably my most popular episode over the years that I'm really fond of would be an episode called Cause and Effect, where the Enterprise is caught in a repeating loop of time. Done before Groundhog Day, I believe. that was a lot of fun.
Why was it fun? Just the sort of time travel aspect of it?
At the time, the storytelling seemed kind of brazen. You know, we're going to repeat the same act over and over again. In fact, when people used to call into TV stations, I don't know if they do anymore, but we got various affiliates, got dozens of calls from people thinking there was something wrong with the broadcast.
That's amazing.
Because a story like that was really kind of groundbreaking in a way. It was very experimental, I should say. An experiment that I think worked.
You started working on the series during Next Generation. Was there a lot of pressure put on you to make something really distinct due to the success of the original series? Did you feel that pressure?
I was new to television. I just wanted to do a good job, keep my job. Eventually, as I got kind of enmeshed in Star Trek, there was always the pressure of making each episode as great as it could be. And we didn't always succeed. But we felt it.
What were some of the aspects of the original series that you really felt the need to maintain? And what were some of the things that you really wanted to change from the original series?
Well, the ethos of Star Trek from the original series on was very much intact, with a vision of the future where humanity has solved its problems. We're not driven by the acquisition of wealth. There's no more war or poverty or disease, and we seek to better ourselves and explore. That ethos, which I think in part is why the franchise has sustained itself and is so popular, was a huge part of it.
So with current shows like Black Mirror and other sci-fi, it seems like the genre has shifted a little bit to a more pessimistic view of the future. Do you think that there's still space for the optimism of Star Trek in today's kind of more cynical world?
I think Star Trek's optimism is what has made it such a long-lived success. You know, most science fiction is dystopian. The Hunger Games, misery, just sheer misery. And that can make for, it's, you know, very kind of grand drama. But I think Star Trek presents a future that people actually would like to live in. And it's really unique in that way. I don't know that anything has really ever been quite as optimistic as to say the future is bright, the future is amazing, and come join us on the ship.
I know that you're not working on the new CBS series, Star Trek Discovery. You've worked on different incarnations of the show, Voyager as well as Enterprise, to, you know, different levels of success, right? What advice do you have to people working on the new show to make sure that it's successful?
My advice would be to keep looking forward and really explore new ideas. And sometimes we relied a little too heavily on Star Trek lore. I think our most successful episodes were when we introduced something new that captured the audience's imagination. It's really what the show is all about.
Do you think this series and the franchise should ever end?
There's absolutely no reason that Star Trek can't keep going for as long as there's some form of television. I mean, you meet people now. I was talking to a young student recently, and I mentioned that I worked on Star Trek, and they said, oh, the old one? And they were referring to Next Generation. They didn't even know there was an original series. Everyone has their own Star. There are people who just love Voyager because that's what they watched when they were young. And that's their Star Trek.
Brannon Braga has worked as a writer and producer on Star Trek. Brannon, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Ben.